through the summer. God has blessed me. God has spoken in so many different ways to my heart. He's helped me grow. He's helped me heal. He's helped me deal with all kinds of good things in my life. But I'm convinced that why so many believers are floundering in discouragement today is that we've conditioned ourselves to settle for lesser things, sinful pleasures. And as a result of that, we've shut down the enjoyment of what God has provided for us in His creation. The reason why we settle for sinful sensuality is that we've shut down our engagement in our senses to the good things that God has provided for us in His creation. We take for granted our food and water and all the beauty of God's creation around us. Not only that, we've separated in our minds what God has given us from God Himself. I want to say that again. We've separated in our minds what we have and God Himself, the one who gives us those things. Everything in creation, apart from the fall of humans into sin, reflects the glory of God and can be enjoyed to the fullest. Today's a lesson from God's Word to accept His invitation to engage in the pleasurable playground He has placed in us when He created the world, or placed for us when He created the world, as we see in the beginning of the book of Genesis. Now, I want to read this passage in Genesis before we get into our text today. God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him, male and female. He created them, and God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "Behold, I've given you every plant-yielding seed that is on the face of the earth, and every tree with a seed in its fruit, you shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has breath of life, I have given every green plant for food, and it was so." So think about the very beginning of time when God spoke and all this came into existence, all the trees, all the flowers, all the grass. He said, "Here it is. It's for you to enjoy. It's for you to eat. It's for you to survive and develop in." And I want to talk about that word enjoyment, because in our text, in Ecclesiastes and in 1 Timothy, he uses the word enjoy. In the New Testament, in 1 Timothy, the word enjoy means to take hold of something to get the advantage or pleasure that's to be obtained from it. Now, that's pleasure. Now, we can take pleasure in the things that God has given us that's good, or we can misuse that and take pleasure in sinful things, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But in the Old Testament, he uses the word enjoyment, which means literally to see, to look around, to inspect, or consider, or take a look at. When is the last time you took a flower and picked it up from the ground and just stopped the busyness, stopped all the hurry, and viewed that flower and looked at all the nuances of it, the petals, the beauty of it up close, and all the little things that come out of it? I'm convinced that my failure to live in joy is my failure to stop and look and relish the things that God has given me. And yes, we will endure trials and pain. Many of us go through a lot of pain on a daily basis. But God has given us something in His creation to enjoy, and it's connected to Him. And so I want to begin by reading in 1 Timothy there, in verse 17, 1 Timothy chapter 6. Now, he's addressing rich people, and if you were to go around the world to other countries, they would call you all rich. They would say, "Wow, you have three cars, you have a big house, you have whatever food choices that you want, you have running water." They would say, "You're rich." But there's some lessons to be gained in this as we read through. He says, "As for the rich in the present age, Charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. There's a couple of things. First of all, enjoyment is found through an attitude of humility. He says, I'm going to tell you, I'm giving you everything. I've given you everything for your enjoyment, but it can't be enjoyed if you have a haughty heart. Or in other words, you're high-minded or proud. Humility comes about when we accept our lot in life and that we are content with what God has given us. Now keep your place there and let's look at Ecclesiastes for a moment, chapter 5. And I want to read verses 18. He says, behold. And if you didn't know and ever read through the book of Ecclesiastes, it's about the vanity of all things apart from God. But in verse 16, he says, behold, what I've seen to be good and fitting is to eat and drink and find enjoyment in all the toil or labor with which one toils under the sun. Some of you, it might be a physical ailment. Some of you, it might be just the hard toil of your daily job and work or raising a family. But he says this, all your toils under the sun, the few days of his life that God has given him, for this is his lot. Whatever God has given you is your lot. And it's a lot. Now, when I look at other people that might appear or might think that they have more things than me or bigger things, all of a sudden my lot, I forget about my lot. And I make it very small, and I even refuse to enjoy the lot that God has given me. Because I'm always looking for something bigger and better. And I think the key to joy, the key to enjoyment in life, is humility, of contentment, of accepting what God has given us. Now notice there, he says, this is good and fitting. It's like, you know, you have a diamond ring and jewelry, and they call those fittings where they put the stones in. If they're the wrong size, or if it, some of you, how many of you have seen jewelry that's just ugly because it's not fitting for what it's put into? Maybe you have this little tiny band and of silver, and then you stick a big, huge ruby in it. And it doesn't look good because it's not fitting. But he says, this looks good on you. To be content, to be humble, to accept your lot in life. And you have to look for and engage your senses to find the enjoyment in your toils. He says, find. Did you see the word find there in verse 18? Find enjoyment. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more. God has given us hearing. He's given us mental capacity. He's given us emotions. He's given us feeling, touch, smell. All these things in which to engage what he's given us to enjoy. That's our lot, our portion. But we have to look for it, engage our senses in it. Now I want to just go back one. I just spent some time, and God recalibrated some things in my heart and life. In one of my favorite places to go in the Rocky Mountain National Park is like a meadow much like this, looking up on the mountains. But, you know, we often think that we need to go to our addictions to feel good. If we slow down, if we fully engage all of our senses in the beauty of God's creation, that's going to be more than your senses will be able to handle. I can guarantee it because I tried some exercises this summer. I stopped. I took in. I breathed. Now, Paul says this in Philippians. Not that I'm speaking of being in need. I've learned to be, whatever situation I am, to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any way, in every circumstance, I've learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger and abundance and need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. So here is the connection. He says, we could have a lot of things or we could not have a lot of things, but we're always surrounded with the beauty of God's creation that we connect with, whether we're feeling low, whether we're feeling high, and it reminds us of who made all those things. And he says, all I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And a lot of people misuse that verse and say, well, I'm going to go and do this and Christ has given me the strength. But real power is when God gives us the power to be content with our lot in life. That's what he's praying for. It is connecting with the holy God through the beauty of creation in all sorts of ways. Enjoyment is found in that attitude of humility of coming before God. Number two, if we go back to our passage in 1 Timothy, enjoyment is maintained when we refuse to set our hope in things. Now, it's two different things, to enjoy creation and to set our hope in it. And I hope you can track with me here today. Because he says in verse 17b, he says, nor to set their hopes on what? The uncertainty of riches. Now, even that mountain that I looked at, I saw parts of the forest that were burned out by fire. Those things can go away. He says, make sure if you're going to experience enjoyment in your life is you refuse to set your hope on things. Things that are uncertain and not going to last. Things that must not become addicting or consuming. In other words, replace God as an idol. So the moment I take what God has made in creation and I start to worship that and disconnect it from God, it becomes an idol. It becomes an addiction. And there are things that don't last. I've disconnected myself from the eternal realm. Things that are meaningless without God being the source and the focus in it. So enjoyment is maintained when we refuse to set our hope on things. But that doesn't mean we can't enjoy things. We just don't put our hope in things. And number three, enjoyment is realized when we slow down and recognize God as the source of our enjoyment. Look in verse 17 in the end. He says, don't trust in the uncertainty of riches, but on God who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. Think about that phrase for a moment. God who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. And then in our Ecclesiastes passage, verse 19, it says, everyone also to whom God has given wealth and possessions and the power to enjoy them and to accept his lot and rejoice in his toll, this is a gift from God. Now, I want to encourage you that every moment of every day with this message, if you forget everything that I say, is next time you take a bite out of food or sit down for dinner, remember it comes from God. Next time you put your clothes on, it came from God. Next time you open the door into your house, that came from God. The next time you get in your car and drive it down the road, that came from God. The next time you look at your beautiful family, that is a gift of God. Next time you see your church family, it is a gift of God. It all comes from Him, and it all gives Him the glory and the honor. And when we separate it from that, we lose our sense of joy and pleasure. Jesus says, I've come to give you life and I've come to give you more abundantly. And perhaps this is a part of that, is that we connect everything that God has made with our Creator. That word provides means to offer, to furnish, or supply. I'm fully supplied. But did you notice in the text in Ecclesiastes, he doesn't say that God only gives us, but he gives us the power to enjoy them. Well, what is that all about? I think if we go back to Genesis, we can unpack that a little bit. I'm going to skip ahead a little bit here. And did you notice that part of Genesis where it says, and have dominion over them? God has given us everything in creation to be creative with. That's why we build. That's why we have technology. But He's given us dominion over the earth. And so we can enjoy all the things that God has made for us. Now, God has not only given us these things, but He's given us the power to enjoy them. How? Through the work of Jesus on the cross. Because I have my sins forgiven. We sang about nothing but the blood of Jesus this morning. That we have true life in Jesus Christ that's connected with the eternal realm and not just on the here and now and things that will fade away. That word power to enjoy means to domineer or exercise power over, to have mastery, to lord it over, to give the power of. So that's a very powerful phrase. He's given us. And we usually use the word domineering as a negative thing, like a husband domineers his wife or all that. But in this case, he says, I've given you the idea to rule over everything that I have made and exercise the power over it. I've given you the power of enjoyment. Now, I do different things. And when I was on the retreat, there was something that they did, a workshop that I went to at a men's retreat that really, really hit me like hard. And we just took some moments. We were outside. It was at a camp. There's mountains in the background. Said, take your shoes and off and go. Just go stand in the grass and stop and slow down. Take some deep breaths and feel the blades. Pick up a flower and look at it. Pick up a rock. And I tell you, it was almost like a wind blew through, the wind of the Holy Spirit. Because I was like, look at it, all these things that God has made. And I pass right by them all the time. And I live in my anger or my depression or my discouragement or my pain and hurt from physical things in my life. When God has said, here's your playground. Your playground is not porn on the computer. Your playground is not addictions to substances. Your playground is what God has created for us to enjoy. And when we learn to engage our senses in those things, the sensuality of sin is going to start to pale in comparison to the beauty of God's creation and the family that He's given us. If we stop and engage our senses. So, I would like three volunteers to come up here. And we're going to do a little exercise. And I hope you like chocolate. How many believe that God made chocolate? God gave us the ingredients for chocolate. So I just... hold on. I got to set this down. Close your eyes, take a deep breath. Slow everything down. Now, what you hold in your hand is something that God has given us. Now, the wrapper is man-made, but it's from materials that God gave us. I want you to just slowly unwrap that and feel with your hands the creases of that wrapper. So what I'm asking you to do is not be like Hank, my dog, and gulp it down right now, but to savor the moment. Now, I'm going to invite you, don't chew this chocolate. I want to invite you to put it in your mouth and let it melt. And let your taste buds feel and experience and taste every part of this chocolate. Slurp it around. Savor the moment. Wasn't that the best Hershey Kiss you've had in a while? I hope it was. And that's just a little exercise that I'm going to challenge you to do. Whether it's something as simple as sitting down with your family for a prayer at a meal and taking a bite of food. Sorry, I still have some in there. I'm enjoying it. Take time to enjoy the gifts God has given us. I feel like I've, in my life, either discounted or disconnected God from all the good things that He's given us and provided us. And it leads to discontentment. It leads to ingratitude. Busy. A lot of us in this room have been stressed by different things this week. We're in the middle of building our house, and there's always all kinds of stuff going on with that, and people calling, and even when I was in the mountains, they somehow got through. But to make sure you discipline yourself to take those few minutes every day to savor what God has given us. I think it gives you a big attitude adjustment. It gave me one. From now on, I'm not going to take the blade of grass in the ground for granted. Even though sometimes I complain I have to mow for 2 days straight to get all the property mowed. But it's beautiful. The deer, the flowers, the trees. Pick up a stick and feel all the textures of the stick on the ground. Oh, that's just a stick on the side of the road. Or pick up a rock. My wife calls me a rock nerd. I love rocks and minerals and things like that. I have a collection. To look at. God knows every speckle, every part of that stone. And He's made it for you and me. And when we experience the new heaven and new earth, in case you haven't read the book of Revelation, there's levels and foundations of stone in the New Jerusalem. So God has His own rock collection. But take some time to feel the blades of grass. Take some time to behold the beauty of the mountains and the trees. And one of the things that we have, if you can't go to the mountains, you have lots of pictures online that you can look at. Nothing compares, though, to pick up a flower in person. Just like, you know, we learned through COVID, everything's better in person, right? We're not staying at home. To look and value what God has made. Pretty soon, my things that I'm addicted to and the things that I think that I need to survive that are unhealthy for me doesn't compare. But as the Word says, you have to look, you have to seek, you have to find enjoyment. You have to step out and have a change of heart and look at what God has made. Slow down. and then last of all, this brings everything together, is that enjoyment is lived out in generosity when we embrace an eternal perspective. We're connecting the beauty of what's here and now with what's coming in the future. Now, you think the trees are great and big now. Wait till it's without sin nature and without the effects of the fall on it, how big and how gorgeous those trees will be. If you think the mountains are beautiful now, think how great they will be when the new kingdom is established in heaven and we have a new heaven and a new earth. God wants us to connect these things with eternity and to rejoice because it's so beautiful here now. Think of what it's going to be like then. It's going to blow our minds. But look in verse 18 of 1 Timothy. He says, there to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future so that they may take hold of what which is truly life. You know, something happened when I did that exercise out there. You might think, well, did it make you just want to stay there forever? No, it made me well up with a feeling of generosity. I want to share this with others. I want to be generous and serve others in the kingdom of God. Suddenly, good works become such a delight because I'm connected with pleasure and joy with what God has made, and I want to bring other people into that glory. And so this comes to the end of the verse where he says, the good foundation for the future, that they may take hold of that which is truly life. We have what is truly life in our salvation. If we believe Jesus died and our place for our sins and rose again from the grave, we have life. And part of experiencing that life is experiencing and being in connection with our Creator and all that He has made and looking into the eternal realm and saying, I'm a part of the kingdom of God. I want to delight to serve my brothers and sisters. And I want to do good works. I want to reach others with the gospel, and I want to share. And that word share, when he says ready to share, that's an interesting word there in the Greek. It means to be sociable. It means to be ready to maintain communion and fellowship, inclined to make others sharers in our own possessions. So, now, I know I don't have some of the greatest social skills in some areas of my life, and you might be thinking, I'm not that social. But when you start to enjoy the beauty of God's creation, it does something inside of you that makes you want to have communion and fellowship with other believers and love your neighbor that's not a believer. Now, I want to first of all, say in an eternal perspective, God is the one who keeps us occupied with joy in our hearts. So if you go back to Ecclesiastes, did you notice in verse 20, he says, for we're not going to remember the days of our life because God keeps him occupied with joy in his heart. Now, I forget a lot of things and I think maybe how I took that and I feel it's one way of applying it is that sometimes my days are not so good. They're miserable. Sometimes we experience pain in our physical health or ailments or trials that we go through and difficult things in our lives. But this is the blessing that God has given us in the midst of that, is that we won't remember those days because God keeps us occupied with joy in our hearts. And that word occupied means to be busied with. And that word joy means gladness or pleasure. And so the whole key to this today is connecting with our Creator. And that is what fuels joy in our life. And we can do that through our creation. So an eternal perspective results in that generosity and readiness to share and makes us rich in good works. An eternal perspective causes us to live in the real life of our eternal salvation. See, I grew up in a legalistic environment in a church where it was all based on rules. And it kind of gives you the idea that you separate what God has created in the earth and what He's given us fun things to do. It could even be sports or music or things like that. Separate it from God. This is holy. You need to sit here like a lemon-sucking Christian. Make sure you don't let people know that you're too happy. And then over here are all these things that God has made, but it's not for you to enjoy. That's baloney. It's a lie. And it's what leads to disconnect in our living, in our life, in our worship, that everything that we do is for the glory of God alone. There is no separation of our Christianity, of the life that's within us, in our job, in our families, in this creation. We bring God the glory in everything we do, and we worship Him and exalt Him as we enjoy all the things that He's given us, that He's made in our lives. So that's how to find enjoyment in the toil of life. It's not going to come easily because we have to slow down and stop. We have to disconnect from the busyness and we have to reconnect with the Creator. When I ask the worship team to come today, I hope that you will keep encouraging me along these lines, and I will encourage you is to take time every day to pick a flower. Pick up a rock, to look across the lawn and realign ourselves with the way God intended us to be. Oh, it's going to be so good when we get to heaven. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for sending Jesus so that we don't just have a meaningless existence on this earth that you've created us, that you've created for us. Thank you for sending Jesus so that we can have life and live it abundantly as we're meant to live, to reconnect with you as the source of our life, as the source of our salvation, as the source of our joy. And Lord, I will be the first to say, will you forgive me for ignoring all the gifts you have showered upon me? Forgive us. And forgive us for disconnecting you from those things. Forgive us, God, for misusing things apart from you. Father, I pray that today each person here will be filled with gratitude and joy. And Lord, I pray that you would rekindle and reawaken our sense of sight and smell and touch and sound, all for your glory and your worship. If you're here today and you've not received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I encourage you to put your trust in Him, to transfer your trust from yourself, from the things of this world, and to place it in Jesus Christ, who died as a substitute for your sins and rose again from the grave. Lord, bless your people. In Jesus' name, amen.